What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thank you, Toby. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan in 1 hour at 5 o'clock. If Jaden Daniels doesn't play against the Ravens, he will have gotten through this preseason with exactly zero pass attempts after his one drop back last night resulted in a 14-yard touchdown scramble. Can you get on board with that, or would you like to see him throw the football? Do you need him to get on the same page with some of these receivers under the lights in a game or, as it were, on Saturday afternoon? That's a new thing. Got to be the last few years. I never remember that from my childhood. Day preseason games on the weekend?
Yeah.
Maybe they used to do it, but when I was a kid, I'd never remember a noon Saturday or Sunday preseason game. Just didn't happen.
I don't remember if it did or not. I mean, it's all foggy and hazy, and my brain doesn't work anymore, but I remember those Saturday night preseason games. Like, that was always a thing. But
Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday, it was regular. Nighttime, that happened. Sunday and Monday, or so, you know, Saturday and Sunday day games, I just, not a thing, not for me. Let's get to the Beltway Blitz. We're going to cover the Wizards, John Wall's retiring, and the Commanders who played last night, but we start on the diamond. Juan Soto back in the nation's capital, the Mets and the Nats tonight. Andrew Golden will be covering the game for the Washington Post. Andrew, since the Mets' great start to the season, going back almost like 55 games, half of a year, or a third of a year, rather, they're the second worst team in the league to the Nationals. I mean, they need to have a good series just to get themselves into the playoffs, it feels like.
Yeah, the Mets aren't playing well at the moment. They're kind of scuffling. Their starting pitching hasn't been strong. And even talking to Gopiro just now pregame, he was saying the key is just to get to the starting pitching. And so they had to do that today. I mean, their bullpen is pretty solid, but I think their starting pitching has been kind of the down spot. And so I think that's what we need to see the Nationals do today, is get out to a hot start against them and get David Peterson out of the game.
Andrew, what have you seen from Brady House? I actually, you know, was looking this up, and he's a negative WAR player at this point. It's almost to a negative one at this stage, despite only having played 45 games for the team. Just kind of give me an assessment of what we've seen.
Yeah, I think we haven't seen Brady tap into the power that we thought he'd have. I think what you're seeing and what we heard in the minor leagues, that Brady did have a propensity to chase a lot, and I think you're seeing that show up. He's not working deep counts and swinging early and not getting himself into counts to see the best pitches, and so I think what you're seeing a little bit of is his defense has been good for the most part. I know he had a bad play the other day, but he's been good for the most part. But just at the plate, just some quick at-bats. I just haven't been, you know, super blown away by what I've seen so far. But I think, you know, obviously he's early in his career, and he's hopefully figuring some things out.
I feel like, too, with these young guys, and the gap between the minors and the majors has grown massively over the last couple of years. There's a lot of reasons for that. Ken Rosenthal wrote a nice piece about basically plus stuff at AAA and some of the other reasons for it. But I feel like it's like almost I hate to say it, but an eyeballs thing where you look like a big leaguer or you don't. Like, I watch Dalen Lyle. I don't know if he's a star, but that's a big leaguer. Robert Hassel, I feel that way about. Brady House, I feel that way about. He runs the bases pretty well. Like, he has played a good third base, a massive upgrade from what they were getting. The power hasn't been there, but, you know, he's hitting. I know it's been uglier lately, but he's hitting just about league average. Like, to me, it looks like this is a guy who's in the early stages of what could be a lengthy big league career. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I think the difficult thing is really hard to judge somebody on their first full season, the first couple of months. Like, James Wood, you knew what he could be, but, like, you saw some flashes, you're trying to figure it out. I'm not comparing, to be clear, I'm not comparing Brady House to James Wood at all. But I am saying that, like, I think it takes some time to figure out what you're going to be. And I think we won't really get a true assessment of what Brady looks like until next year, once he had a full offseason to adjust, learn how people are pitching him, and see guys for the second or third time around.
Andrew, you're one of the elder statesmen out on the beat. You've been around for a little while. I feel like you're an influential dude.
Oh, man, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that.
Well, you're still much, you're decades younger than me, and you have a good metabolism, and you're very handsome. But I feel like you've got some influence, and your opinion carries some weight. Who do we have to talk to get Robert Hassel on the lineup? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, do I got to bribe somebody? Like, do I have to win some sort of arm wrestling contest? Is it calisthenics? Who do we have to talk to?
Yeah, I think the key for Robert, I think he's just finding the right matchups, and I think what the Nationals want to do is have him face righties. I like to see him face lefties. I like to see him play every day, just so you know that he can't hit lefties or in those sort of things. I think it's interesting. Honestly, I also think it's very interesting that when Robert plays, that he's in center field and Dylan's in right. I would have thought it would be the opposite, where Dylan's in center and Robertson right. But regardless, I think it'd be good to get both of them in the game as much as possible. I think you kind of know what Jacob Young is. Obviously, to balance it with Dalen Lyle, too. But I think you kind of know what Jacob Young is. And so I'd rather see Robert Hassel play every day, see what he can do, so you know exactly what he is heading into this offseason.
Tonight, Jake Irvin's on the hill. His ERA is over 6 in his last 15 starts. It's been a regressive season. Velocity down, even the breaking stuff, the metrics aren't as good. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think he's just getting off to bad starts early. He's a guy who pounds the strike zone, he's at his best, but I think that's when he struggled this year, especially in the first inning. And it seems like he's kind of working from behind once he trails in the first inning. So I think just for him, the key is just getting off to a better start early. I think if he can do that, he's in a better spot. But like you said, he struggled. His stuff isn't where it was before. And so when you're not in the strike zone and then you're behind in counts, the hitters know what they can sit on and they can have some success. So I think that's what you've seen from Jake this year, just getting behind and not really being himself.
Andrew, thank you as always, bud. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll see you, my friend. Hit that wizard sounder, Darius. Our guy, Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports Network, joins us to talk about the Wiz. John Wall, Chase, it makes you feel old. I'm sure you probably feel the same way. I remember Kentucky time. I remember winning the lottery. I remember the draft. And he's stepping away from the game. Just your thoughts on his legacy.
Yeah, next thing there will be, you know, his son.
Right, exactly.
At a high level. That's how it works these days. You know, when I saw the announcement, it took me back to about a month ago. I was in Las Vegas, and I talked to John Wall because he shows up to the Summer League every year. And he was telling me how, like, excited he is to kind of move into the next chapter of his life and what he was kind of calling his second calling, which is broadcasting. And it just kind of struck me, especially in hindsight, that I think he's kind of at peace with his basketball career being over. Obviously, he hasn't been in the NBA for a couple of years. He's continued to work out and continued to work out for teams. I think he's ready to kind of move on. And I was telling him, I thought he's done a great job, especially on NBA TV. And I think he's really kind of ready to lean all in on that. And I think just, you know, first of all, congrats on a great career to him. I mean, I think he's the best player the Wizards have had in several decades. And I think I have to note, just the connection he had with the fans was so strong. I've covered a lot of athletes, some of the best athletes in this town, from Ovechkin to Ryan Zimmerman and all the players the Nats have. Going out to community events and seeing him interact with fans and D.C. residents, I really think there was a special connection there.
I think that's well said. He was excellent. There was a few year stretch where he was one of the best in the game. I remember 16-17, he finished 7th in the MVP vote. He was 3rd in the All-NBA teams, but it was 23 points and 11 assists per night. I mean, that's like a great couple of week heater when someone can get on a stretch like that. But at his peak, how good was he?
He was the best passer I've ever seen, like, on a full sprint. He's one of the best passers I've ever seen. He was an all-defensive player on the defensive end. I think his shot improved over time. Obviously, early on, he was such a blur and such an athlete. No one could stay in front of him. And I think it was the competitive nature that really took him to the heights that he got to. You know, he was a guy who played with his emotions on his sleeve. I think that's one of the reasons why fans really took to him. There was sort of an embrace in both directions. And I think at his peak, he was certainly one of the best point guards, one of the best guards in the NBA. And I've been thinking about it today, probably, you know, the best player the Wizards have had since, like, at least Gilbert Arenas. Like, you could quibble with, you know, who had a higher peak. But that's a pretty long stretch of time to be the best player that a franchise has had.
Chase, I've argued in the past, not necessarily heated with friends or colleagues or otherwise, but just sort of felt this way, that 16-17 year where he was third-team All-NBA, career highs in assists and steals and points and everything else, I think that shortened his career. Kind of like I think of that Dwayne Wade year where he was like, okay, to win a championship, I have to be, you know, the crash test dummy or Crash Bandicoot, basically, and go to the foul line a million times. I think that changed the course of his career that year where he never really played a full season after that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, his body started breaking down right after that, right? He signed the contract, and the next year, I believe, he played 41 games. He missed a bunch of time. And then it wasn't long after that that, of course, he had the injury that then led to him rupturing his Achilles mm-hmm. in just a freak accident. So that does kind of seem like that was his peak, 2016-17. And unfortunately, his body didn't cooperate. And, you know, I see what you mean. You know, there was a lot of discussion at the time how he would generate free throws. It involved him falling on the ground quite a bit. And, you know, people, I think we were all wondering sort of how his game would age. And I think there was a chance that it could have aged really well because he's one of the smartest basketball minds I've been around. Going back to his passing vision, like, I think some of that is natural instinct. But it was also, this guy was just a basketball savant at his peak. You know, the way he could process and see the game was special. So I think there was a chance his game could have aged better than it did. But, you know, once you rupture your Achilles and you're at that position, and I think it was at a time when the game was kind of evolving at his position. You know, mm-hmm. you look back at like sort of the traditional point guard mode. Well, he kind of didn't fit that in the sense that he did score a lot of points, but he was also more of a pass first point guard than you see nowadays. So it was kind of like just a confluence, I think, of forces that sort of led to that being his peak, unfortunately.
Chase, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, bud.
John Wall, two of his final four seasons in the NBA, he didn't play in any games, and then he hasn't played in a couple of years. So it feels like, you know, maybe it's been a long time or that he was already retired. It just wasn't official. He has been out of the sport for a couple of seasons, but now he is going to formally retire. All right, let's talk football. Nick Akridge of PFF to help us do that. Nick, who stood out to you last night? Commanders, Bengals.
Yeah, I think the younger wide receivers, I think Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane especially kind of really stood out to me just in terms of separation. Lane was more kind of, you know, productive with his catches, but I think Luke McCaffrey did a good job separating. Defensively, I thought Percy Butler was good in some limited snaps. Jacob Martin was flashing at edge, so those are kind of the guys that stood out to me.
So I want to jump on McCaffrey. No stats to show. What's going on there? Because that was a guy I'm kind of going, hey, at some point, are we ever going to see it? But it sounds like you were impressed with him. Was he just not targeted again, which kind of was his story last year, I guess?
Yeah, wasn't targeted. It's kind of been, you know, that's really been his career so far. Every time I watch him, he's really good at getting separation. Kind of the biggest thing that he struggles with right now is beating press coverage. That's kind of his biggest problem. But if he has a corner that's giving him some sort of cushion, he's so fast and explosive, and he separates pretty easily against those guys. Last year, he just, for whatever reason, was just not getting the targets when he was getting open. Same thing happened last night. He had two plays where he's just toasted a corner and could have been easy. Well, not easy in terms of the quarterback throw, but nice yardage there.
Yeah, one of those deep shots where they turned it down, like Daniels probably, especially in the regular season, lets it rip and maybe you score a touchdown. I remember specifically one of those plays you're talking about. I will say, and I've been a fan of Luke's all along and have talked about the separation dating back to last year, but at some point you got to catch footballs. And I don't know, like it's a chicken or the egg thing. You can't throw it to yourself. But I also know that quarterbacks throw it to guys they're comfortable with, you know, that they trust, guys that they know are going to win. And as an example, Jalen Lane at practice, he gets on the field, he gets a target. In games, he gets on the field, he gets a target. You're just seeing it in a way that we've never really seen it, even in preseason games. with Luke. I guess react to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. There's something there that I'm missing. And of course, I can only, you know, pick up on what I'm watching on the film. And yeah, he's just not getting targets right now. Whether that's, like you said, they don't kind of have that good rapport, whether he's not really getting open in practice. But from what I've seen, he is able to get open. And that's kind of the number one thing for wide receivers. And, you know, maybe it kind of stems more from that struggles against press coverage. So when they see man coverage, they don't really kind of look his way. And, you know, there's a lot of different things other that, you know, is involved in wide receiver play other than just getting open. So that's kind of something that he still really needs to work on, and just kind of understanding that the craft of being a receiver.
Nick, what'd you make of the running backs? I always think it's so tough to tell, especially in the preseason. We've fallen in love with so many preseason heroes against, you know, future delivery drivers. But, you know, early on, I think you, me, Grant, anybody under the sun could have run through some of those holes that Rodriguez and Cross Kimmerer were running through. What was your eval of those guys last night?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for is are you taking more than what's given to you? Like you said, the Cross Kimmerer touchdown was a lot of almost any running back in the NFL is going to score a touchdown on that play. That was just terribly defended and one of the easier runs. But what I'm impressed with him is he rarely ever is tackled by the first guy. Even when I remember there was a play where he lost 4 yards on the play, but he's still making a guy miss and changes a 5-yard loss to a 4-yard loss. I know that's kind of small, but I'm really impressed with what he does in terms of making people miss. You know, Chris Rodriguez is another guy that in very, very limited snaps last year, graded out really well in our system because, again, he's forcing a lot of missed tackles and he's getting yardage, you know, after contact and taking more than what is just given to him. So I kind of really like those two guys.
Well, I don't know how these guys have graded, whether it's over two, you know, meaningless games or even in the last year, but I'm starting to really feel good about this safety spot with Quan Martin coming into his own. Will Harris has had an excellent camp. He was awesome in the Burgundy and Gold scrimmage. Percy Butler's fast. Reeves is having kind of the breakout summer on the defense. There's just a lot of similar guys that are super fast and physical, and they do the Joe Witt arrive violently thing. How do you feel about the safety room?
Yeah, I like it. There's no one really elite guy there, but they just have a lot of really, really good players, a lot of great depth there. Quan Martin has just kind of quietly played a very solid safety over these past couple of years. Again, he's not making those huge splash plays, but he's just constantly doing his job. Jeremy Reeves these past two games has been really, really good at safety, constantly coming up and making tackles, not missing tackles. And then Percy Butler had a good game last night, targeted twice, had a pass deflection, and then the other target was on a screen where he beat a block and got a tackle for loss. So I think, kind of like you said, all four of those guys are playing really just good football, solid football.
Nick, I feel like 11 people on this whole planet care about this, but I'm going to keep beating this drum. They spent a second-round pick last year on Ben Sinnott, and I saw one catch last year in the regular season and then that trick play in the playoffs. Like, when do we get to see something? What have you seen from him? Is he getting open? Is it the Luke McCaffrey situation? Why can't he get on the field? I mean, or what am I missing here?
Yeah, I would say it's not as much as the Luke McCaffrey situation. I have not seen him consistently get open, and tight end is a very, very tough position to come in and learn right away. He's a good athlete, but right now he's kind of struggling with blocking. That 5-yard loss play that I talked about was his fault on that play. And he's just really not getting open right now. So again, it's a very, very tough position to learn and come into the NFL and you know, perform. So I'm going to give him another year, but again, that's kind of why you have guys like Zach Ertz. And, you know, if it kind of, we don't really see a lot of improvement this year, then you're really going to have to look some elsewhere and kind of, you know, chalk that pick up as a loss.
Nick, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you as always.
Yep, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
Thanks,
you got
man.
It. Nick Akridge, PFF. Check out his work there. Let's talk third quarterback battle. It feels like this fight could be ending. Josh Johnson against Sam Hartman. Johnson, again, seems to just operate the offense at a much higher level. We'll do that next on The Fan.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Tuesday, Grant and Danny after Monday Night Football. Quarterback competition in D.C., probably a thing of the past as far as the starting job is considered for the next decade or so. But we do have a competition going on for the third quarterback job between Josh Johnson, who's played for a record number of NFL teams, was signed going into training camp, and Sam Hartman, who was here last year on the practice squad and was elevated and had the occasional opportunity on the 53-man roster. He's become very close and good buddies with Jaden Daniels, similar in age, two guys that enjoy hanging out and spending time in the quarterback room together. So this competition was intriguing going in. The idea being, do you want to go with a more veteran third quarterback like they did last year with Jeff Driskel?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you willing to have a third quarterback who's a developmental project, a prospect of sorts that takes a little more work, and someone that you are thinking about 3, 5, 7 years down the road as a just long-term backup, let's say, rather than someone who would play in September and help you win a football game? And that was kind of my debate going in. But I think this is an open and shut case. It's just so obvious, so glaring. Josh Johnson runs the offense better. He is able to operate what they do functionally in a way that Sam Hartman is not in these two games. And Hartman occasionally at practice gets out of the pocket, extends plays.
He moves around pretty decent.
He makes a play or two Heinicke style. There's a little bit of a gamer trait to him when he's kind of high school footballing it up. Like, he's at his best. As soon as he leaves the pocket, this reminds me of Heinicke. I think he's about to do something. Like, there's going to be a completion down the field. That's his game. But in structure, it has been kind of ugly in these two contests. Sprayed the ball all over the place, inaccurate against the Patriots. And then last night, early in his outing, was borderline difficult to get reads on receivers because of where balls are and the throws and how far behind and just not timed they were. 4 of 10 for 29 yards and a pick for Hartman.
And it felt worse than that even. Another should have been pick in there, a ball that was too poorly thrown even to be intercepted on one route.
If it was
to
on
Jaylen
time,
Lane.
It would have been a pick six.
Right? So it's, and I, you know, it sucks, but that's kind of the reality of this league. So it all depends on what you want in that third quarterback. I talked about this a bit yesterday, and I'm still kind of sticking with it. So I'm different. I mean, our dude Chris Russell, bless his heart, screamed at the whole world, you have to keep Nate Sudfeld years ago. And I'm going, no, you don't. You don't have to do anything with your third quarterback.
Wow, you're still referencing Nate Sudfeld in 2025.
Just offering it in the sense that I don't care about that third quarterback position other than what does it do for the film room? What does it do for, you know, this guy's and this collegial atmosphere? And, you know, who benefits the most? If you're judging it by who's the better football player, pretty obvious. Sorry, it's Josh Johnson, who's been on, you know, 80% of the teams in this league. But if it's another question entirely, or can you not afford to get Sam Hartman to the practice squad? You can, by the way. What does it mean for the room? So to me, that's what it's all about, that third quarterback spot. Because if that guy plays, you're in disaster zone.
I'm at a point, actually, where I don't know that we have to talk about it. Like, I don't even know if it's worth wasting a lot of oxygen on this today. They'll both presumably play extensively in preseason game three. I think there's a chance Sam Hartman plays like three quarters or something because the decision's been made of who's in and who's out.
Could be, yeah.
And you're not going to risk an injury to a guy that's going to be on the roster, even if it's a third quarterback. But there is also this. Marcus Mariota's injury situation is odd. It's in flux. There wasn't a lot of information initially. It's still kind of happening in anonymity behind the scenes. I don't know when he's coming back or when he's going to practice. It's been very nebulous and kind of evolving. So you've got a quarterback in Jaden Daniels who runs around a lot, who's slender in build, who a year ago we were all worried about durability. Now, he played in every game last year despite playing about a month with broken ribs. And so that conversation's gone away. But my point is it's not Josh Allen. He's not a 265-pound quarterback like Cam Newton or something. Then you've got a backup who's hurt right now in Marcus Mariota. So I think you absolutely are keeping three quarterbacks. And that means Josh Johnson, congratulations, you've made the team. Hartman, to me, is a practice squad QB. Keep him in your building. He's Jaden's guy. He's good in the room, by all accounts. Super handsome. He can be a part of this thing moving forward without any problems.
Right.
And he's just a practice squad quarterback.
Yeah, you can get him to the practice squad. There is no. If somebody claims, you say, fare thee well, handsome man. Let's do a couple headshots before you get out of here, just so we have something to remember you by. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point, by the way, about Mariota. And just because of the timing of it, it's like he's in the Noah Brown camp where we're going, I would love some updates, but they're not really required to give them, so we don't have any. You know, like it's, I don't know if he's good to go right now. If it was a regular season game, could he play tonight or whatever, or if they're just being cautious, or if this is more significant longer term. If that's the case, if this guy, whoever the quote-unquote third guy is, might have to play, God forbid, in week one or week two, then yeah, it's Josh Johnson, and that's kind of the end. That's all she wrote for me.
Did not play against Cincinnati. They're listing it as just lower leg. But it's been, I would say, way more practices than not where he was not a participant at all now. And you're going on a few weeks since he's just been out there taking on, from the early days of training camp, the full allotment. And they initially said it's precautionary. But my point is, okay, so let's just say he's there in week one as the backup quarterback. That's fine. You still don't feel great about the last few weeks and his durability going into the season. So if you were going to keep two quarterbacks, that would have been fine if it was Daniels and Mariota. Last year, they had Driscoll on the roster for the most part all year. But now I think it's just the decision's made for you. And Johnson's your number three, and Hartman is on the practice squad. Does any part of you say you'd rather go in a different direction on the practice squad even? That, like, Hartman has struggled enough that you go, there's probably another guy out there that's more interesting from a long-term potential standpoint. Because I understand that logic, but I think right. Daniels is such an entrenched member of this thing that I'm almost okay with my practice squad guy being someone who's just there to help him, to
That's
make
my
him
view.
Feel good and be comfortable. And frankly, like a well-paid buddy, essentially. Like, we're going to study together. We're going to be in the QB room together. If I need you to do some cut-ups for me and get back to me and watch this defense and give me some notes, like, I would build my quarterback room that way, a non-threatening helper, so to speak.
Yeah, I've got a good buddy named Chris, right? And, you know, our kids are the same age, and we've been friends for a while. For whatever reason, he and I, A, we get along, but B, like, we have fun working out together. I know that's a weird thing to say, but, like, he's my workout buddy. We push each other, we motivate each other, and we help. So that's that same kind of vibe. In other words, what I'm saying is, if Sam Hartman and Jaden Daniels are buddies, and you feel like Daniels is benefiting from having Hartman around, I mean, Daniels is a self-starter, doesn't need any help, but you know what I mean. Like, he's the guy that sees the certain one little tell for the defense that, hey, this is what they're going to do. Watch this safety's heels. If he's leaning back, it means he's going to bail. And you can see that. And he sees the way Daniels moves and can give him that little tidbit or that one extra rep in the weight room, whatever it is. Then you keep Sam Hartman around. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's all this is. It's like his security blanket.
You
I don't care if he can play or not.
A vibes guy, so to speak, and be the third quarterback necessarily, mm-hmm. just because of that. But why not a practice squad spot for a quarterback in the building that, as you always say, if we got to that point as a fan base where Washington is debating either elevating Sam Hartman to be their fourth QB to play this season, or they're signing some guy off the street that week who's a veteran, Phil Rivers to come out of retirement right. or whatever, then nothing matters.
Yeah, enjoy your top 10 pick.
Then, exactly. It's a disaster of a season. So, yeah, just keep him around and let him drink some beers through his hockey sweater like TJ Oshie at Caps playoff games. Will is in El Segundo listening on the Odyssey app, free and available wherever you are. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up, Grant? What's up, Danny?
Hey, buddy.
So I was going to say about Sam, but just put him or hang him. You can give him a job. You can give him a title. You know, you can just make him assistant offensive coordinator for passing
basically, yeah,
in the short term.
You're on the practice squad, and you're the assistant to the assistant quarterbacks coach. That's kind of what we're talking about.
Unlike me and every other woman on the East Coast would like him to stay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope my wife's not listening.
Only player my wife has asked about.
Not a bit at all. My wife went to bed early last night. She's a huge fan of the team, didn't watch any of the game, which, like, when we met or were dating or pre-marriage would have been the craziest thing that she's ever told me. But now with four kids and a baby that's nursing all night long, I'm not going to ask any questions. Like, mm-hmm. I totally get it.
You just lucky to be here.
Yeah. Bigger fish to fry. But she's the only thing she asked me, she didn't ask if they won. She didn't ask, you know, she's like, loves Jaden Daniels, didn't ask how he played. She goes, was Sam Hartman better? I said, I got to be honest.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's not going to be good for
and
you.
And this is not out of jealousy. This is just what happened. It wasn't good last night.
I don't think you're going to like cutdown day very much at this point. But anyway, Will, what else you got?
I was going to say, like, about the Terry situation, I think part of the reason the team is adamant not to trade him is because they went into the offseason thinking that they were going to be able to re-sign him to a contract that was more friendly, somewhat below mid-market value, but, you know, and the demands by Terry and his agent took everybody by such surprise that they are sort of stuck in a situation where, like, wait a minute, we just went through the whole offseason and we only added Deebo Samuel. We could have been in the market for other receivers. We maybe could have been in the market for T. Higgins. And now you're holding a gun over our head. I mean, right now, personally, I would trade him for a first round pick because I don't think he wants to be here anymore.
But, well, I don't think you're getting a first round pick that. For him. I would trade him for a first round pick too, probably. Or I shouldn't say that. I would absolutely consider it, depending on when the first round pick was. If it's the Chiefs, probably not. If the Titans want to give me a first round pick, I'm probably going to go ahead and do that. But it does cut down on your chance to be the winning team that you want to be this year. But that's not his value, because the team that's acquiring him doesn't just have to give you a draft pick for a guy with 1 year left on his deal. They then have to go pay him $30 million to make him happy.
A la what the Steelers did with Metcalf. That was the inflated cost, and they're trying to base that on different circumstances, talking about he and the agent. So, yeah, I mean, to me, there's just the way the roster was built, whoever you want to fault for this, I think that's a legitimate discussion. They're not built to withstand the loss of Terry McLaurin. They're not. Deebo Samuel's a different animal altogether. Like, this is a weapon, a pop pass guy, a running back, a slot guy, more of a weapon. They don't have a number one wide receiver. They didn't draft one. They didn't go out in free agency. They didn't execute trades. They were going about their business to improve the football team, and that team included Terry McLaurin. So they're not, to me, a trade almost would not be worth it. I'd have to be blown away by an offer that's never coming that would be totally unrealistic. The story is the player needs to be here because that's how this team is built.
Yeah, the other thing I would say to this notion, and it's a good phone call, but if they would have known he was going to play hardball like this, they would have done more. I'm not convinced of that. Because the example I'll give you is running back. I get the sense now, putting the pieces together yesterday, they've known for a while that there was a real good chance Brian Robinson was not going to be on this team. Or from the moment probably after the draft that they actually got their live look at rookie minicamp of Kroski Merritt, they saw the kind of shape Chris Rodriguez was in this offseason, how hard he was working in the weight room, some of those things. My guess is this was not like a 3 days ago they decided Brian Robinson's not part of the plans, right? You heard Chris Russell talking about the fact that there was frustration with him at points last season. I'd heard some of those same things about how he was running and meetings that they were having, you know, with him, and he cleaned some of that up at different points. But I guess my point is, this was not a new thing with Brian Robinson. What did they do at running back? They didn't sign a starter. They had lots of money to do that if they wanted to. What did they do in the draft? They drafted one in the seventh round. What if Crosky Merritt wasn't there?
Right.
Then you just sign an undrafted free agent running back, and that would be your starter? So my point is, if it's true that they weren't sold on B-Rob, which I don't think they were, and they almost did nothing at running back to improve the position group, and we've seen this at other positions last year as well, there's not always like an urgency that they have to replace the thing to make it look just so. So I'm not convinced that they would have done a whole lot different at wide receiver. Speaking of wideout, Luke McCaffrey, he came up when we were talking during the blitz with Nick Ackridge. I'm worried about him. At some point, we need to see some production. And now you're playing in the second half of preseason games against dudes that won't make the team as a top 100 pick last year, and there still aren't targets or catches. Let's get into that next on The Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Coming up in 15 minutes at 5 o'clock, have we seen the last of Jaden Daniels and many of the starters for Washington this preseason? They played four snaps as a group on offense last night, went 76 yards and scored a touchdown.
It's like, sorry for being so successful. We got to get off the field now.
Defensively, they got a few more reps than that. You'll have to forgive them for not, you know, going three and out. That would have been the only way to beat the offense. But let's get into Luke McCaffrey for a second. And you could lump Ben Sinnott into this conversation too, although I just feel like you see and notice Sinnott more often. He feels to me like a long-term NFL tight end. Whether or not he's a second-round pick in the value he's going to provide, I'm not sure. Whether he's eventually going to be a high-impact receiver, I don't know. You got to earn some of those touches that he has not gotten yet. But you notice him. He shows up in the run game. He did get a target yesterday, no catches. The combination, though, of Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey had zero receptions last night. Danny, this is a preseason game in their second year as top 100 pick. Sinnott was taken barely outside of the top 50. You're talking about kind of middle-ish second round, and getting him on the field and getting the ball in his hands is still proving immensely difficult. But I don't even want to zero in on him because, again, I think with an opportunity, he might be able to help. Luke McCaffrey's had that opportunity. He's having that opportunity. They have had huge needs at wide receiver early last season. Remember the big catch and run in Cincinnati in week three on a fourth down. And his role diminished as the year went on. But I just kept waiting last night. I kept watching him. I'm going, second half, preseason game. These dudes aren't going to make the team. Just go route somebody up. Go make a play. And you heard Nick Akridge of PFF say that he rewatches the tape and he gets separation. And last year he actually had a really high grade in, as far as separation goes. I don't know if we're there yet or not, but at some point, I'm a results guy. I'm a process over results guy, but the results have to start mattering. I need catches. And here's what I would say. When you watch Mitchell Tinsley last night for the Bengals, who's a roster right. hopeful who was here as a practice squad Jag-type player for a couple of years, he goes out and he makes unbelievable plays, and you go, it's like someone performing in the summer league in basketball. Maybe he could be a good player in the NFL. I know he's going up against a backup defensive back. I know that, you know, that space and time isn't the exact same in the regular season, but you're flashing. You're showing that athletic trait, which, by the way, Luke McCaffrey has. His RAS score was unbelievable. I mean, this is a guy that was one of the more athletic players of the position coming out, still raw to the position because he played quarterback, but you fast forward into year two, I'm watching him at practice, and I'm just kind of waiting, and I'm waiting. I've seen more excitable traits out of Jalen Lane in a very short time, who was drafted later, in a couple of weeks, then we've gotten out of Luke now, and I'm just starting to wonder, when is it going to come?
Yeah, I don't know that it does. I mean, I hope, right? But at this point, that's all we're doing is wish casting, the idea that this guy turns into something. I mean, last time he played 28 snaps, Lane played 27. He was on the field
Where'd
more.
Where'd you get the snap counts?
Russell. Chris Russell found him.
No way.
Yeah, I don't know where he found him.
I thought you said George Carmi had him.
Again, this is tremendous. I know this. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything last year. Him and Sinnott. I am lumping Sinnott in there. Like, to me, this is like not quite alert time, but it's a concern time where I'm going, the pathway, especially for McCaffrey in the preseason, is open right now. For Sinnott, I get being delayed by Zach Ertz and the renaissance year he had. Again, I call it a renaissance year. This is a great player, but hadn't been a great player in several seasons. But Ertz was awesome, and John Bates is a mauler in the blocking game, so where do you fit in? Nowhere. This should have been a great showcase for him last night, going against backups, going against whomever. Push somebody off. Be physical. Be awesome. I don't notice him. He doesn't get catches or targets. He does nothing. Now Luke McCaffrey's in that same boat for me with ample opportunity. Last night should have been the, we should be explaining away how dominant they were against nobodies so instead of going is, one target between them.
Here is what I wrestle with on Luke McCaffrey. I argue with myself on this because you can't throw the ball to yourself. All I can do is go out there and get my cardio and run routes and try to get open. And if they throw it to me, I'll catch it. And if they don't, it's just not my play. But if every single play is never your play, that's got to mean something. If we get through a whole season, you don't catch 20 balls. If we get through a whole season and your role diminishes. If we get through now multiple preseason games and it's just, it's one screen that's poorly timed because it was thrown behind you inaccurately by Hartman for negative yards, and that's kind of where we're at now through a couple of contests. At some point, that's got to mean something. I don't know when that is, but we're getting there. But here's the argument I have with myself is like this idea at a dependent position that you can't throw the ball to yourself. Quarterbacks are in the business, Danny, of getting completions. Quarterbacks are in the business of moving the chains, of keeping their completion percentage high, of excelling, going out, moving the football. They are trying to determine before every snap a couple of things, including, you know, coverage and where they're going to go with the ball. But I think there is some thought process of who's going to win for me right now. When Jalen Lane's on one side last night and Luke McCaffrey's on the other, Jalen Lane's getting six targets. They're throwing him the football. He is, and based on practice being out there, I get why. He's always open. He's always catching passes. If you're just taking note of targets, catches, you know, that kind of thing, you're going to see Lane way more often. And I guess my point is, I don't have an answer to this, but if you're Sam Hartman, do you just already trust Lane more that he's going to win so you're locked in on him? Is Cliff calling plays in a certain way where things are predominantly going in that direction, not Luke's? I don't have all the information. I just know that for a third-round pick in the top 100 in the second year of you playing in August games late last night against dudes that are not going to make the worst defense maybe in the league, I would just love to have gotten one pass thrown to him so I could see what it looked like.
Yeah.
And they have seemingly no urgency to do that.
So my only hope, and this is a fool's hope, is that they've got something so special and they're just saving it for the regular season. I'm not counting on that, by the way. I mean, to me, what we should be doing is going, okay, we all need to calm down. They just dominated a bunch of backups against, as you said, the worst defense that maybe the sport has ever seen. Senate should have gone for, you know, 5 for 65, trucked a couple of dudes. McCaffrey should be routing guys up, toe-tapping on the sideline, and letting everybody know that he was wide open. You already said it, but I want to double down. Offensive coordinators, quarterbacks, these are not stupid people. This is a league of survival. How will I survive? And right now, it's not going to those guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's very simple. We had these debates.
Last night, the whole point is, at some point, you would think Cliff would, like, look at the play sheet on the sideline and go, all right, let's see what Luke does. Like, in some ways, you're putting guys in spots to test them. You're trying to figure out what someone is and isn't. How do you get through 50 plays or whatever it is last night? And you said 27 he played?
Yep.
By the way, that's more than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get through 27 and at no point do you go?
McCaffrey's 28, sorry. Lane was 27, yeah.
So how do I not throw him a bubble? You know, just get the ball in his hands. I'm just surprised they haven't done that. Just to see what it looks like. But it tells you it's not a priority for them right now. Which is also, alarming's probably too strong, but discouraging.
Concerning, yeah. I mean, again, the only silver bullet or the only moonshot is they're both so good and so ready to go that they're keeping it a secret for the regular season and watch all the targets they'd up. You want to bet on that? I certainly don't. I mean, to me, these guys are both now afterthoughts in the offense, which is discouraging.
I think that they will clearly both be on the team. I mean, Sinnott is a roster lock, I would imagine. McCaffrey, because he was a third-round pick, there's no reason to believe he's not going to make what is a weak position group. But if this was a late-round pick, what is our conversation right now? I always try to kind of have that mindset, too.
Or if they weren't drafted by this regime, what would the conversation be?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense,
like,
too.
If they were new this year and these guys were holdovers from last year.
I just wonder with him. I'm not out, you know, completely. I love the kid. He comes on the show. He's a lot of fun. I genuinely enjoy my conversations with him. In fact, I've had him on my altcast for the Capitals, hanging out on the couch, you know, watching Caps games. He couldn't be a cooler dude.
Yeah.
Really, really nice guy.
Fan of his, for sure.
I also wonder, I know the RAS scores were amazing and some of that athletic trait stuff was great, but when you watch him, what's his calling card? So think about it as if it's a baseball player, and I'm talking about tools, where a guy's got a hit tool that's a 70 or a power grade that's a 65, or maybe his arm strength is a, you know, plus, or he's got elite speed or something. With Luke McCaffrey, I think he's probably an oversized slot. But I don't think of him as, he's not Cole Beasley, like twitching people up.
Mm-hmm.
When you put him outside, he doesn't really separate as much as I think you'd like. I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out what he is.
Yep.
And I mean, we're now a calendar year in and into the second season, and I don't love that I don't know yet.
So
I already feel like I know what Jalen Lane is.
Yeah, so the usage for me would be if you are playing against a team that, or playing against defenses where they got to go, okay, we have to zone this team. Talking about Washington. We cannot play man-to-man because ... Soft spot in the zone, he'll catch everything. I feel like his hands are excellent. You know what I mean? Hands catches everywhere and always, secure the ball, get what's there, et cetera. Dependable, kind of, you know, a good catch maven. I don't see him. Again, maybe I'm wrong. Some of the advanced numbers say, no, he's getting separation. He's routing guys up. He's doing the thing. He's just not getting the ball. I don't know, man. Something's not jiving
practice,
with that.
Practice, it wasn't like he got open a lot. It seems like it's constantly small window, especially outside on the boundary near the sideline or whatever. When he's just running down the field on go stuff. Like, he's got good speed.
Yeah.
I think he's maybe a contested catch guy, too. Just remembering his highlight sizzle reel from college was a lot of leaping catches over top of people. We haven't seen that asked of him necessarily. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Starters last night, just 4 plays. Many of the 30 guys that didn't play against the Patriots did last evening, but there are still close to a dozen guys on the team that haven't played at all in August. Without joint practices, do we think we see the starters again against the Ravens? Let's get into that. Plus, what's next on the Terry McLaurin front? This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Donor advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.